friend, we honor you. As we enter your word tonight, or rather this morning, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious of the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom you have compressed into this written human words. Consequently, we recognize our need for supernatural help and assistance, and therefore ask for the same. Now, you will anoint me afresh, so I will speak as I should as an oracle of God, and then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray and ask that, Lord God, you will, as I speak, you will release your power in sufficient measure to follow and back these words wherever they're heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yea, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer, agreed and said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning, as is our custom, we're going to continue our study in God's word. And in our last lesson, we're now in the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 1. And in my last lesson here, I shared, we stopped, I believe, it was in verse 8. And we really spent a little bit of time on that, where the Bible says that, you know, I am Alpha and Omega, excuse me, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. This truth, and it is a great truth, is not many times clear. Or let's say it this way, the degree of the clarity of its ramifications is not in our hearts to as it should be. Because I've said this many, many times, it does bear repetition. Our knowledge of God in many of our lives, in many cases, even for many people who have been Christians for many years, is very childish. You know, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I speak as a child. And I've used this illustration. You know, little children, when I say little children, say children between the age of 3 or 4, yeah, 3 years old, 4 years old, till maybe even their early teens and mid-teens, know their parents facially, but they don't know their parents yet. Because they haven't matured enough to know two vital things. One, the character of their parents, and two, the resources of their parents. They just, you know, children just think, you know, my daddy can do anything, my mommy can do anything. You can't blame them, because that's a consequence of their level of maturity. Spiritually, the same thing is true of Christians. You know, most Christians, they know God, because it says, the Bible says, well, the Spirit of God says in us, Christ, Abba, Father. So like those little children, we know God, you know, but, and we know God is good and is powerful, but the degree, the clarity with which we know that is limited. And this statement here is one of the great statements in the Bible, you know, about God's power and his omnipotence. You know, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That statement is loaded. It means that there is nothing that is happening that God doesn't know and does not have, watch this, control over. That's why he's Alpha and he's Omega. And I shared from two or three scriptures, and that's where we closed. I shared from Jeremiah
You know, he said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you. That's knowing the end from the beginning. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And I also gave example of Cyrus. You know, Cyrus was another great king. He was even Gentile. He wasn't even a Jew. You know, before he was ever born, before he was ever, you know, Isaiah had spoken about him, that he would be him who would restore, tell the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and restore the nation of Israel, restore the temple and build the temple. It's all there, you know. And I think I give another example of Josiah. He's one of the kings, you know, he hadn't even been born. And God spoke about him through one prophet, said there's a king who is going to come, you know, and all these false prophets is going to burn their bones on the altar. I just gave those three as samples, you know, but it's all over the Bible. And not only that, this is probably the one I want us to really get, you know, it's true of us today. You see, when we read these things in the Bible, say, oh, well, that was Jeremiah, maybe that was a special case, or that was, you know, Josiah or Cyrus. No. Now turn with me to Psalm 139, and let's look at verses 14, 15, and 16. I believe it is. Yes. Very quickly, and I'd like to, because of time, okay, let's quickly look at King James first. Psalm 139, you know, and verse 14. We're talking about God being almighty and Alpha and Omega. And how that applies to you as an individual. Now, watch this. He says, I will praise thee. Hello. Say it after me. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I said that last time and I'm saying it again today. David had no idea how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. He, in those days, they didn't have the knowledge of science and biology and all of that we have today. But he had a witness of it. That's why he ends it, that my soul knoweth well. In other words, he knew it by intuition. He didn't know it mentally. But today, with the knowledge of DNA, with the knowledge of the complexities of the human body, we know that this statement is true. This is one of the statements that let you know that the Bible is true. The evidence of God. You know, even all the scientists and all of that, they don't call it God, but they all agree that the complexity is something else. I mean, what we have inside us is a computer program.
Yes, sir.
Formed by chemical bonds. That DNA that identifies every individual. It is fearful and it is wonderful.
Yes, sir.
You know, don't give the Lord a clap offering. Yeah, it's worth it. I said, that my soul knoweth well. You know, but look at verse 15. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This is another wonderful statement, because it has different dimensions. But I'll just look at one or two of them. Well, number one, he's talking about the body of Christ. You know where we were wrought? In hell. He's talking about Jesus, not just Jesus, you and I in Jesus. Because you see, what you have to understand is that when Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He went to hell. He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. So you don't leave something that didn't go there. So it went there, but it wasn't left there. It was while he was there, you and I were born.
Yeah, in Christ.
That's why I said, I was made where? In secret, curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. You know, so everybody who ever will get born again, that was where. It was because he had paid the price.
Yes, sir.
So when God raised him from the dead, he was the first person to be born from spiritual death to spiritual life. You and I were wrought in him.
Amen.
Well, give him another clap offering. What? It is a deep, they're deep truths. Can you imagine? David said this in the Old Testament. Thousands of years before Jesus was even born and he died. Then verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. A better word for that is yet not completed. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Talk about Alpha and Omega. In other words, while Jesus was inside hell and God was creating the body of, you know, was conceiving the body of Christ, all of us were written. Everyone. All. Amen. It's English, folks. Praise the Lord. Abel said, thy eyes didn't see my yet being unperfect in thy book. You know, and this is corroborated in the book of Revelation. You know, I was sharing, recently with people. I think it was here in church on Wednesday, and also I shared on Friday at Brother William's, his birthday. I was sharing with them, you know, that all of us have a part. It's in Revelation chapter 22 in verse 19. God knows ahead of time.
Yes, sir.
It's a plan.
Yes, sir.
We have a part in the book of life. I say the book of life. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a part in the book of life. You have a part in the holy city. And you have a part of the things that are in the Bible. Hallelujah. Before you were ever born. Give him another clap offering. Why are we sharing this? For one thing, which is very important, is to give you confidence. Your life is not an accident.
Amen.
God had a plan, and he still has that plan. And that plan is written. The good news is it's written in that Bible. He said the same thing. He said, all my members were written in thy book. Now, go back to that Psalm 139. Go back to Psalm 139. It's 14, 15, and 16. Psalm 139. And I want you to read it in the New International Version. And also, you know, let's stay with the New International Version. It says almost the same as the Amplified. Your works are wonderful, and that I know full well. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, you know, and when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. I've spoken about that, you know, the body of Christ. Verse 16, watch this. He said, your eyes saw my unformed body and all the days ordained for me. Kashele Bengara. Give the Lord another clap offering. Were written in your book before any of them came to be. Can you believe that? It's wonderful. Only somebody with God's mental capacity can project in engineering and physics. We have what we call a simulation. When you simulate something, you put in certain parameters, and then when you put in those parameters, you put some mathematics and all of that. You can go and look at what will happen at the end. You know. And that will now tell you, okay, if you change this one, you'll get this. If you change this one, so you now keep playing around with it until you get the end of what you want. You know, that's man on a very small scale. Now, before God did anything at all, he already planned everything. I'll give you one last scripture on that. And we're trying to show you how he really is Alpha and Omega. It's not flattery. It's not a cliche, it's a reality.
Amen.
Look at it's Acts chapter 15. Let me just quickly check that scripture. Acts chapter 15, and I believe it's verse 18. Acts 15, 18. No, 15. Chapter 15, verse 18. Not chapter 18, verse 15. It was James who was talking. When, you know, they went to the and the Gentiles came to the church, and people started saying, oh, the Gentiles, they shouldn't be born again, and they need to keep it. So anyway, but don't let's get into all that, because I don't want to get off track. He says, known unto God are all his works. Known unto God are some of his works. From the beginning of the world, Alpha and Omega. Now, the problem with this truth is this. If this is true, and it is true, how come people don't fulfill their destinies? I'm going to be talking more about later in my main message later on today. How come, if this is true, if God already had a plan, if God already has written it inside his book, if God already knew it from the beginning, yet men, we see in the lives of so many people, for instance, let me give a general truth that everybody can relate to. The plan of God is that he says he's not willing that any should perish, but are all to be saved. He say he actually, you know, that's what the Bible says. He's not willing that any should perish, who have all men to be saved. Yet all men are not saved, even though the plan is everybody already has a part in the book of life. Everybody has a part in the things in the city, holy city. Everybody has a part in the thing. So that are written in the book. You, me, all of us, there is a plan of God for your life that has already been written inside the Bible before you were conceived in your mother's womb. But alas, alas, because of man's free will, it is possible to lose it. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, but it's true. And you see it in the same book of Revelation. He said, if any man, and this is the reason, let's go back to Revelation 22, and I'll leave this and move on. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. Yeah, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part. You know, his part was there. But watch this. His response to the word of God determines whether that part was kept or it was lost. And the same is true of the things I've written in the book. So the reason why, even though God has a plan for you and for your life, if you omit certain parts of God's word by unbelief, disobedience, rebellion, whatever, you know, then some of the post parts can be lost. Now, it's not the will of God. Just like it's not the will of God for anybody, for everybody to be born again. Amen. God did not plan hell for anybody. Hell was for Satan and his angels. Amen. But so many Christians lose those things because they don't listen to God's word. Amen. They don't believe God's word. You know, and they don't act on it. And of course, there's a part there, but that some of that part can be taken away. Now, like I always say, it's not your portion in Jesus' name. But the reality of the matter is that it will not be your portion in Jesus' name if you will not take out parts of the word of God. That's why you're in church. That's why you're listening to me. That's why you need to, like Proverbs chapter 4 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Do not let them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of a heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Watch the word find. 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 It means that it's there, but you have to go and dig it out. And then put them, you know, practice them so that you can get them. And this is one of the great truths in the Bible, the cooperation between God and man. You see, God is almighty. God knows the end from the beginning. In what that means is this. This takes you from the childish thing, you know, does God know you're going to sit on this chair? you know, silly childish kind of things. What that means is this, to understand it properly. I've said it many times over the years. See, God does not predestinate individuals. He predestines events. That's why he says he knows all things. And conditions for the fulfillment of those events. The individuals that fulfill the conditions now become predestinated to those events. Is it clear? Now, somebody said no, sir. It's good to be honest. Amen. God will have mercy. God will have mercy on you. All right? You become predestinated to those events, but you must play your part. You must believe. You must act on God's word, you know. And it's when you do that, that those things, you know, come to pass, even though the plan was there. I was sharing this with Brother Williams yesterday. I said, you know, that's why at the great white throne judgment, something wonderful is going to happen.
the books are going to be opened, including the books of life. There are actually two of them. There is the book of life, and then there's the Lamb's book of life. The book of life is the one that's registered when you got born by your natural mother. The Lamb's book of life is the one that's where you are registered when you get born again. That's why you have to be born twice. The physical birth and the spiritual birth. Now, when it's all written, then there's, you know, but let me get to my point. The point is this. At the Great White Throne Judgment, when the books are opened, God is going to play back. How many people know God has CCTVs? Far more advanced than our own. Amen. This one doesn't just record your actions, it records your thoughts. Everything is recorded. So they'll now play back everything. Then you will now see how God played his part. Everything. The Bible says his tender mercies are over all including you. So he will show how God showed mercy to you. Then your heart response that now determined whether that mercy did its work or not. And determined what you gained or what you lost. Everything will be played back. So that God will be justified when he is judged. You know God himself will be judged. That's how righteous God is. That's why God doesn't hide anything. Because God himself is being judged. Because God has made laws that he himself is bound to. He's subject to his own word. He said he has magnified his word above his name. Give him another clap offering. This God is a great God. And you know, that's why on judgment day, God himself is standing on judgment. Because everybody's going to see whether God did the right thing or wrong. Yeah. And he's not going to hide. You know, God is such a good God. You know, when you read the Bible, you begin to understand the man's character. As I say, you know, many times our understanding of God is very childish. Mm-hmm. As you grow spiritually, you begin to understand his character. It is only a righteous God who would have recorded what happened between him and Moses. Mm. When God got angry, and said, I was going to kill everybody, all the Israelites, he said, I'll finish them as one man. He said, I'll make a great nation of you. You know what Moses said? Moses said, you can't do that. He said, if you do that, the Egyptians will say you could not deliver them. That's why you brought them here. But then Moses went, can you imagine the boldness of Moses? He said, turn from this your fierce anger. Hold on, no, that's all right. Give the Lord a clap offering. Moses said, turn from this fierce anger. He said, you thank God that this your anger will make you do what? You know, the Bible records it.
Yeah.
If you and I were God, that scripture will never see the light of day. People are. It's only a righteous person like God, the God of the earth, who will always do right. Yet, not only had he recorded, he said, and God repented. Give him another clap offering. That is his character. And God did that as a sample. Let you know that's how he deals with everybody. It's not just Moses. That's how he deals. God is righteous. He doesn't just say with his mouth. He talks the talk and he walks the walk. He is righteous even when it's not convenient for him. And that's why when on judgment day, everybody's going to be watching. What did God do? And you know what? God is aware that his own actions and thoughts are also being recorded. That's why he's very careful. He will only say what he means. That is why, watch this. You can now understand it better. That is why he watches over his word to perform it. Because he knows he too is being watched. Hello? I know it's difficult for people to understand. These are deep truths. You know why? I'll tell you another reason, you know. Why these things are so? It's because, you see, God took from himself to make us. So each of us is like God. He put the same God qualities inside us. We can judge. Just like he can judge. We feel like he feels. So he made us in his image and in his likeness. So we have the capacity, you know, to judge like God judges. And he was aware of that. So that's why he's careful. Because he knows that it is people like himself that are looking at him. That's why the Bible says, ye are gods, Elohim. The same word in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, Elohim. Where it's the same Hebrew word that is used in Psalm 8. It says, I said ye are gods. That's what Jesus quotes from in John chapter 10. You are all Elohim. So it's because of this that God is he's righteous. He watches over his word to perform it. He doesn't just say anything. He makes sure that everything is done properly. You know, I used to wonder, God is God now. Who can fight him? Nobody. But you know, the thing about him, he's righteous. That's the kind of person he is. He's righteous. He's self-controlled. His righteousness, justice, loving kindness, and all those attributes must be seen. Not just they are there, but they have to be seen. So you say, when you go to God and you say, this, that happened, God says, oh yeah, no problem. Bring out the records. Yeah. And by the time they finish, they won't even have finished playing half the tape. You yourself, you will know. You will know. You will just... God. Eh? So you did this. You'll be amazed how far God went to save you. And those who went to hell, they will be amazed how far God went when the books are opened. And they will now see that the only reason why you went is because you wanted to go of your own free will, which is a part of God that is inside you that God will not violate. God will back your free will even to go to hell. Now, he doesn't want you to go to hell, but he will not violate your will. That is why men lose destiny. An exercise of their own free will. Everything we are doing and everything in our interactions with God, God is responding to us at the heart level. When God moves in our lives, he will walk in our circumstances, put thoughts into our mind. He won't force them. He'll put thoughts into your mind. Then you have a choice. You can choose, or you accept, or you can reject. Your responses, watch this. Your responses at the thought level are determining your destiny. Give me Romans chapter 2. You know, when I got born again in that youth copper house in Ikom in 1978, you know, or it was 79, you know, it was around my birthday, I stumbled on this scripture in Romans. And it was God, the Holy Spirit, you know, knowing the kind of analytical mind I had, you know, I did physics and all of that. And I was thinking logically. I wasn't thinking Bible or anything like that. I was thinking logically. I said, I'm in trouble, though. I'm being honest with you. I was reading that thing in my room. I said, yeah. You know, I'm in trouble. That's how I got born again. When I read the scripture, I was, because I knew in my heart. You see, that's why honesty of heart. So I knew inside here, in my heart, you know, that it was true. And I responded honestly. And got born again. Thou art inexcusable. Oh, Lubi.
Oh, man.
This is a universal scripture. It applies to every human being. Whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, do the same thing. Jump to verse 15, because of time. I don't know. It's such a great truth. Go to verse 14. I read the scripture. It now made me clear about, you know, Muslim or no Muslim, Buddhist or no Buddhist, Hindu or no Hindu. This applies to every human being. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. You know, this is what we call, in quotes, good unbelievers. These are people who just, they don't know the Bible. They're not trying to, they're just doing the right thing from their conscience. There are a lot of good men like this on the earth. But you know, even doing this won't get you born again, oh. Doing this will lead you to getting born again, like Cornelius. The Bible says he gave, you know, he was a good man. He gave alms and prayed, you know. And when God saw his response, you see, that's why God works at response to us at the heart level. When he saw Cornelius' heart and saw that this man was honest and he was doing the law contained in the things contained in the law by nature, that works will not get you born again. He now said, God did something wonderful. And you know, I want to say this, you know, it didn't happen, but I want to say this. You know, Cornelius could have refused, though.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't by force. Mm. God walked, he walked over time.
Yes, sir.
The first one he dealt with was Peter. Because you know that one won't go. Mm. Hey, legend, God forbid that. God first of all gave him a vision.
Yes, sir.
Then he now sent the guys for. Then he appeared to Cornelius,
yes,
an angel, and said, "Go and say, look at the coordination,
yes,
just to get one man born again."
Hey.
He did the same thing for you.
Yes, sir.
You might say an angel didn't appear to you, but something happened in your circumstances.
Miraculous.
They will play back the tape one day. And he finally got to, Jesus help me. He finally got to Cornelius' house, you know, and you know, God showed him that, you know, you shouldn't call Gentiles, you know, unclean and common. So when he now got there, you know, Cornelius gathered all his friends and his household. Then, you know, he said, "Oh yeah, okay, we're here. What has God told you to tell us?" This man was not a Christian, but he was doing by nature the things contained in the law. There are a lot of people like that on the earth today. Peter began to talk about Jesus and being born again and all of that. God didn't let him finish.
While yet.
God, when he got to the point where he said, "Jesus, you have to believe in Jesus," and he was raised again from the dead, which was the information that they needed to get born again, the Holy Ghost took over. Watch this. It's one of the, that's why it's recorded in the Bible. It's an extreme example. This thing happens to all men. At one level, because it happened to me. I know that. And you know, I could have rejected it. I could have. It just depends on the heart. You know, immediately the Holy Ghost just fell down. Bass. They got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit simultaneously. Watch this. No sinner's prayer. Showing that what God is looking at is the heart. God bypassed. They must have said it when they spoke in tongues. Glory to God. Woo! Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Hallelujah. If thou shalt believe in thy heart that Jesus died for your sins and he was raised, and they believed it in their heart, so immediately, bass! The Holy Ghost just fell and they got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit simultaneously. Gentiles. God knew the person he was dealing with, because if he was Peter, he would not have led them in a sinner's prayer. Because he wouldn't believe that Gentiles could have. And when Peter said, you know, when God gave up the Holy Ghost, just like I said, who was I to withstand God? Meaning he was planning to withstand God. What are we saying? Everybody say, God is Alpha and Omega.
God is Alpha and Omega.
He knows the end from the beginning.
He has a plan.
For every human life, for the whole of creation,
that plan
is coded, and I use that word deliberately, inside the Bible. It's there, but it's not explicit. It's hidden. You and I, whether we find that plan or not, or let's put it this way, the degree to which we fulfill that plan depends on the degree of the honesty of our hearts. The humility of our hearts in accepting what God has said in his word. When we do that, light will come, and then strength will come, wisdom will come, power will come, and cause the plan to become a reality.
Amen.
The fact that God planned it does not automatically mean it will come to pass if the human being that is involved, the individual that is involved, has a free will to whether he agrees to or he rejects the plan. But the good news, which is what we want to hold on to, is that there is a plan. So I'm not walking around aimlessly.
Amen.
I have a plan. God has a plan for my life. And for all of us who are born in the 20th, the late 20th century, right up till now, this is your own statement from God. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, Cowdy, I knew you. And I ordained you to be conformed to the image of Jesus.
Amen.
In this third day.
Amen.
Find the plan and fulfill it.
Amen.
You can choose not to believe it. Three people clapped. You clap or you don't clap, don't change it. You can choose to believe it. You can choose not to believe it. That's your choice. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'll finish it, you know, and then maybe look at one or two things and then close. You know, because this truth is so important. When you know it and believe and understand it, your life gets on the rock. Security. Security. I'm secure because I know that there's a plan. And the God who made the plan is Almighty. So if I hook up with him, it is a certainty that the plan will come to pass. See, the plan is not dependent on me alone. It's dependent on my cooperation, true, but it is not dependent on me alone. I don't have the power, my own power, to be able to fulfill the plan. The person who made the plan has the power to fulfill the plan. All he needs is my willingness and my cooperation, and it's what we call a done deal. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. So you need to allow God to play his role in your life. There are three things. I've shared them in recent times. You know, I've been saying it for some years, but God's helped me put it all together. Every human being can identify what I'm about to say. And whether you accept it or not is just going to be determined by the degree of the honesty of your heart. When you don't accept it, you are telling me three things. One, you're telling me you're dishonest. Then you're telling me you're a fool. That's not an insult. I'm just being honest. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Three witnesses. One, the heavens. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Scientists and everything will tell you, you know, when we look at, you know, those of us who are little physics and cosmology and all that, the position with which the planets and all of that move and all the, you know, the electromagnetic force, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, the gravity, change any of those things by 0.0000 to 40 places, 1%, the whole thing will collapse. Then you tell me that was not designed? And the book that says it was so is the Bible. The second one is the one we just looked at, Psalm 139. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Only the Bible makes that statement. Because it was written by the person who made it. Then the third one is the history of Israel. When you look at what God has done, he said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And you see the history of Israel, particularly in the last 2,000 years, and how it corresponds with what is written inside the Bible. You have to be dishonest or a fool, or a combination of both. True. Not to believe. It's dishonesty. And that's what's sending men to hell. Bible says, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The reason why people don't accept that there is a God is because if there is a God, then I have to submit to him. And I want to continue in my sinful lifestyle, so I don't want any God to come and interfere. So it let me look for some stupid argument, oppositions of science, falsely so-called, and try and reject God. That's the truth. That's the truth. You can't look at this whole system, you know, with all the precision, all the wonderful things God has done. You know, look at this wonderful plan. Before I formed you, I knew I've already written about you in the volume of the book. So what do I want to do? The most important book in your life is the Bible. It's more important than your physics, it's more important than your engineering, it's more important than your law, it's more important than your medicine and your accountancy and whatever it is that you do, because all of it is inside it.
Amen.
And if you don't find the, if you don't find your destiny inside the Bible, all those other things, you some of them you'll not be able to fulfill them. And that's why you need to prioritize. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The man thought it through. He thought it up and down. This Solomon, you know, in spite of all his nonsense. You know what he said? He said, fear God and keep his commandments. He said, this is the whole duty of man. If you fear God includes honesty and humility of heart. Then you keep his commandments. You know what? You will find your destiny. You will find your destiny. You will find the plan and you will fulfill it. And God's purpose is for us not just to find the plan, but to fulfill it in all of his fullness. You don't even know all the things God has planned for you. I've said it, you know, and I'm just repeating it. Our best days are still ahead of us.
Amen.
We've seen good things, though, but we haven't seen the great things that are written, that we can see inside the Bible. Therefore, I'm not satisfied yet.
Amen.
You see, because the implications,
yes,
the ability of the mind of Christ, the greatness. Wow! Wow! So when I realize that, you know, that's what's making me press on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that I may apprehend that which I have been apprehended for. In other words, let's say it another way, that I may actually get the plan that has been planned for me. It's the same thing. That I may actually grab the plan and fulfill the plan that has already been planned. So I've already been apprehended. The plan is already there. But I now want to grab it so that I will now fulfill the plan that was planned for me.
Amen.
And that plan is in the Word. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. And so, brethren, you know, but that thing is so important. Alpha, I would say he's Alpha. And he's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows your life from the beginning to the end. Hook up with him so you will fulfill everything. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Verse 9. He said, I, John, who also am your brother. I didn't hear you. And companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this verse. I find it very instructive that John does not call himself an apostle. There's something about this man. Now, he is an apostle. One of the greatest, if not the greatest. John calls himself your brother. You know, if you look at all the other epistles, the people say an apostle, like Paul, you know, Peter, everybody. John is an apostle. There's no doubt about it. But go and check his writings. He never uses the title. Not that he doesn't like it or he doesn't use it. I mean, he doesn't know who he is. It's just that John had got to a point in Jesus. He had so developed. He had so grown. He was the one who knew the heartbeat of God. He was the one Jesus trusted his mother to show you the degree of intimacy and. He knew that those are not the things that are important to God. Titles and all of that, they have their place. But that's not my identity. So instead of introducing himself, he said, I, who also am your brother. That one is far better. It's far more important than the titles. I've said this many times jokingly, you know, all brothers will go to heaven, but not all apostles are in heaven. There's one apostle in hell, his name is Judas. He had a title, but he lost the brother. John said, I, John, who also am your brother. He identified with the identity in Christ more than he identified with a title and a job function. As important as being an apostle is, that was not the critical thing. Particularly in this letter, that, you know, this is one of the most important letters in the Bible. You know, this, it said, companion in tribulation. In other words, what you're going through, I'm going through too. This was the time in the Roman Empire when they were undergoing serious persecution. In the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I've been banished to the isle that is called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, I want us to learn something from the life of John. I'm going to close. This was a man. He wasn't very educated at first. And I use the word at first deliberately because I know that because he walked with God, with time, he got the mind of Christ. You know, and you can see this in his letters. He was a fisherman. He wasn't too, you know, but that's not the important thing. Whether he was educated or not, you know, the important thing was that he knew what God really wanted. He knew what God prioritized. He knew what was important to God. He knew what touched God's heart. He knew it wasn't money, it wasn't titles, it wasn't all of that. You know, that's why you find that the most important instructions concerning the love of God and the commandments of God are found in John. What we call Big John and Little John, the general epistle, the Gospel of John, and then the perfection epistles of John. They're amazing. He said, this is his command, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us command. Now, Paul too talked about, you know, that love is the fulfillment of the law and all of that. And he gave us 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, love endures long as patience, which was beautiful and all of that. But it is John that nails it down.
Yes, sir.
Because if you know what Paul said and you don't know what John said, you will not know the link between the life of God and keeping the commandments. And all those things will just be theory in your head and not reality in your heart. That's how important what John, he gave us. And he told us how to perfect the love of God. So whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is love of God. He's the one who tells us about the blood. Paul too talks about it in Hebrews, but John too, you know, says if we confess our sin, he breaks the thing down from 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. How we are going to develop the love of God to the point where you can get in your Christian life also, whosoever is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. He gives you, he tells you everything you need to know to perfect the love of God in your life to the point where you become immune to the devil. Where Satan can't even touch you. It doesn't mean he won't attack you, but it means he won't penetrate your armor. And John proved it. Church history tells us that John, they couldn't kill him. All the others died. Paul, all of them. But they could not kill John. There's nothing they didn't try. So when he was preaching and everything, they banished him to this Isle of Patmos. Then he got the book of Revelation. They let him come back. He lived and died in Ephesus at the age of almost 100. And he died when he wanted to die. Watch this. He died when he wanted to die. He died where he wanted to die. He died how he wanted to die. Give the Lord a clap offering. Because he understood. And the only person that says it, I've never thought of this before, I just dropped now as I'm speaking. The only person in the whole Bible that says God is love is John. That statement, God is love, you don't find it anywhere else except in John. He understood that is what God is. God is love. If you start understanding that, you become like John. Let's pray. Stand to your feet. Let's talk to God. Stand to your feet. Woo! What a guy. No wonder Jesus trusted the Holy Mother to him. God is love. He understood the essence of who God is. His God is love. He understood that once you have love, you're going to get everything else. Paul too got that, but John had it probably more clearly. I guess Jesus, the Lord Jesus, must have told him so many things privately. He said, whosoever keepeth his word, said, in him verily is the love of God perfected. He said, hereby we know we are in him, because he's given us of his spirit. That the love of God may be perfected inside us. John, there's something about that man. And that's why God had him recorded, everything he did and said, recorded in the Bible, as a pattern, as an example for us to follow. Yes, we follow Paul. Paul is great. And I'm not taking away anything from Paul, because Paul too, there are a lot of things, because Paul was an intellectual, and there are things John could not write. Only Paul could write it because of Paul's training. You know, but beyond that, there are things John knew that complemented as the icing on the cake on what Paul wrote. And that's what God wants us to learn. Knowledge is very important, but love is what causes knowledge to be fruitful. Understand it. Let's talk to God. Everybody, talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Your life is not an accident. Your life has a plan. God has a plan. And that plan is in his word. The plan in our 21st century, because we're living in what the Bible calls the third day, is for you to be perfected and to grow into the fullness of Christ. That's the plan. Stop looking for any other thing. Every other thing you want is inside that plan. I've said it so many times, particularly the life of children and all of us. You see, you're not called to be a doctor, you're not called to be a lawyer, you're not called to be this or that. You're actually called to be more like Jesus. But like the more like Jesus you become, the better a doctor you will be, the better a lawyer, the better. So don't make running after becoming a lawyer and a doctor make you neglect becoming like Jesus. Because that's where the plan is. The fullness of the plan is in Jesus. Don't neglect that, or else you, God forbid, you miss part of the plan. We've got men on the earth who are great lawyers and went to hell. See, what you are in the natural is not really who you are. Who you are is who you are in Christ. That's your real identity. And inside that, it says, in him we are complete. Everything else is found in him. Talk to God, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Alpha and Omega.
Who is there like you?
There is none. Hallelujah.
Oh God, you created us
in your likeness.
In your
oh Lord, it's an honor.
It's an honor to stand and worship you.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands.
And he is the great I am.
The great I am. Who was and who is and
out your heart, raise the other one to God. We're going to pray in a minute, but I want you in your own heart, speak to God. Say, Lord, I thank you that my future is secure. It's secure. It's secure. It is written of you in the volume of the book. Your future is secure. No wonder he said, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. It's not just any end. There is an expected, there is a planned end. Now, the person that's going to take you to that end is God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Especially the Holy Spirit. That's his job. Your own part is to cooperate. Particularly at the heart level. This thing is a heart transaction. Honesty, humility, practice. God knows your imperfections. That's not that will not disturb you getting to your end. You have a guarantor of the New Testament, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is ever living to make intercession for you, to make sure you get to the end. You will get to the end.
Amen.
Your future is secure. All God is asking for you this morning is very simple. My son, give me your heart. My son, my daughter, don't do your own thing. If you will walk with me, if you will give me your heart, I will give you grace, I will give you mercy, I'll give you wisdom, I'll give you power, I'll give you strength, I'll give you character. Everything that you're going to need to get to that end, I'm going to give it to you. But stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't wander off. The problem with us is that we walk with God for a time and then we wander off trying to do our own thing our own way. Stay with me. And I will bring you to an expected end. Raise that hand. Touch that heart. The hand represents dependence on God who is bigger than you. The heart represents honesty and sincerity of heart. It's just symbolic. But don't let just the symbols mean it in your heart. Lord, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. And God, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to walk this walk. And we will get to that end together. Now raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me afresh that you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all creation, including my individual life. You are my beginning and you are my end. I thank you that your word has revealed to me that you have a plan for my life, that I have a part in the book of life, I have a part in the holy city, and I have part of the things that are written in the Bible. I say with my Lord Jesus, it is written of me in the volume of the book. So I know that my future and my end is secure because you are the God who watches over his word to perform it. And you have told me that your thoughts towards me are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring me to that expected end. God, I thank you for this. I thank you for this knowledge of the security of my destiny. Have mercy on me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Like you helped John. Help me to stay close to you. Help me to put my ears on your heart, to hear your heartbeat. Help me. Help me to prioritize love, because you are love. And when I walk in love, I will fulfill every other thing and get to this expected end. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God and bring me to my expected end. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah.